the Ten Commandments here, the things that we're going to do. And I don't know if any of you are in debt, and I don't mean to make this a confessional time, but if you want to get free of your indebtedness, then you need to do a couple of things. And the first thing you need to do is what? What was the first thing? Thou shalt determine where thy money is going, right? Does everybody have that? Okay. You need to, you really do need to know where your money is going. And if you don't, then I would encourage you to sit down and figure it out where all your money is going. Even if you're not in debt, you should know where all your money's going, right? You shouldn't just be scattering money abroad and not knowing where it is, okay? And because of we're speaking to the adults here, we use the percentage. I'm doing a review here. But I'll ask you, in modern divorces amongst Christians, which is the same as the lost world now, what percentage of them have a finances or money problems is part of the reason why they got a divorce, you know? No? You want to take a guess? A lot? Well, that's because, yeah, you know, that you're quick, so you know that. Anybody? Okay, how much was it? 80%. 80%, okay. And, you know, divorce rates are the same in the Christian circles now as in the lost world. And it gets down to it. A lot of times, things get down to finances. Remember, two people working, not crossing paths, all the rest of it. That goes along with it. Okay, and then you're going to determine where your money goes, right? And I hope that you've done that. If you haven't done it, then you must have scored very, very high on the thing. When you took the questionnaire, you know, you rated yourself. If you had none of them checked, then that was one thing. If you had 1 to 4, they said, well, 1 to 3? Was it 1 to 3? Well, you just need some tweaking. And if you had 4 or more, then you need some help, right? And you really do need to know where your money is going. There shouldn't be indiscriminate funds that just float away. We have a budget. How many of you live by a budget? You have a budget.
What's a budget?
What's a budget? That's that thing that you put in there and you have miscellaneous. And you put money in it, and then you know and you document when you spend money and stuff like it is a budget. Well, okay. What does a budget require of you?
Accountability.
One. Discipline to keep it, right? Right? That kind of thing. Okay. I want you to be millionaires by the time you're my age, right? Start younger than I did. That's right. Okay. Thou shalt determine where thy money is going. And then we talked about compound interest and all the rest of it earlier, right? And which ones do that. And then you need to have a strategy to get out of debt. Now, since all of you seem like you got your financial act together, obviously, because you don't live by a budget and you didn't find out where your money is going, then I assume then you must be putting a lot of money in the bank.
That's a big ripple.
It's better than not having it in the bank, that I can tell you. It's better to collect any interest than to give it away. And under your bed, it doesn't work, okay? No, everybody knows that they look under the bed when they come. How many of you ever been broken into by thieves and other things? You'll know that they know most where everybody hides all their money. When we were in Spokane, we got broken into pretty regular, it seemed like. And there's just certain areas that they touch. Anyways, so you should devise a plan. Thou shalt, number two, determine the total amount of debt and devise a plan to pay it back. And there, as I mentioned, there's a lot of Christians that have gone and declared. What's the rules for Canadian bankruptcy, claiming bankruptcy? Do you know? But anyways, there's a lot of Christians that have claimed bankruptcy and then didn't pay back loans and different things. And we use that reference. He quoted it. Somebody did anyways. Was it you, Shane, that quoted the scripture? And it's a wicked thing not to borrow and not pay back. So that's the responsibility of the person that borrows, right? It's very clear. There is a responsibility to the lender when you're a Christian and you're lending to a Christian brother or sister, but we'll go there some other time. And so I have the charts if you want to really get out of debt and you want to do that. And we have two different styles of debt, which isn't part of this. But I have to tell you, there's two types of loans. There's a collateralized loan, and then there's not a collateralized loan. This week, I have been contacted by four credit card companies. Four of them. And I'm on the no-call list, and they called me. You know, bring, bring, hello. You know, that kind of thing. I go, oh, really? And why do they want you to do the credit card? Because they're making money. Okay, and they're making big money off of you. And so a credit card can be a very valuable thing, and I don't want to, you know, it can be a very valuable thing, but you have to be disciplined enough to pay it off, even when an emergency comes, so-called, right? You got to pay off your debt. So anyways, let's see where to... after determining the amount of indebtedness, we must acknowledge our responsibility to pay off every debt in full. Is that one of the blanks? We already got that one? You already got that one filled in? I want to see how far. And then, of course, you have to acknowledge if you haven't been paying your debts off and you've been robbing this account to pay this one and all that other stuff, then you need to confess it for what it is. And there's a part, we know the verse, right? 1 John 1:9. Who wants to get that one? 1 John 1:9. Ooh, go ahead.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive unrighteousness.
Yeah, because if you're not doing it, you are sinning. You are breaking. It's a big thing with the Lord financially. You have to understand that a lot of times people don't take the financial side of this as sin when we don't pay back our bills, if we're maneuvering everything and all the rest of it is a sinful thing. Because you've agreed, right? You had that, you know that thing that when you download Word and everything, it says agreement and you just check it. Have you ever tried to read that thing? About 40 pages, I think. It's quite a statement in there. It's quite mind-boggling. But anyways, you signed off on these loans, right? And that you say you're going to make these payments and different things. So you've given your word. And what does the scripture say about when you're given your word and when you vowest a vow, defer not to pay it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Okay? And anyways, that's in Ecclesiastes if you want to look it up. But, you know, do that, please. And you need to confess. That means that you come to an area. And when you're telling people, they have to acknowledge that they've been doing things sinfully, that they didn't pay back the loan that they were supposed to do, that they didn't go and when you don't know where your money is going, what does the scripture say? Look well to your flocks and know where your money is going and different things like that. You need to acknowledge it, because unless you acknowledge it as sinful, then are you going to do anything about it? Absolutely not. You're not going to. Most people don't take advice well because they've got the plan. I hope that you've got a good plan for if things come tumbling down. And everybody really, I tell people that a lot of people's God in when at Beaver Valley, I would tell them that a lot of people's God is right on the hill there. It's called Cominco, or Tech now, of course. That was their God, right? Because they relied so much on that, and that if anything would go wrong, even a strike where they don't get paid, things can radically change. Know your finances. Know your finances. What did I say? If you don't know your finances, how long could you live with what you got in the bank and what you got if you lost all income? Okay? You need to consider it. I get some of my income from the states, right? Because of that, I do consider that. I consider it if that income. And that's why I'm glad that I got it between both the United States and Canada. But I would like to have some money coming in from maybe another country in Europe or something. Because if the states goes down, I already know what will happen, right? You know, with the domino effect of different things. But how long could you make it? Could you make it 1 month? A lot of people, their money is so tight, they couldn't even make it to the next month if they didn't have a steady income coming in. They have nothing in the bank and do that. What did he recommend? And it's a recommendation, but he recommends that you have enough in the bank to get you through a couple months. So that, you know, if you need to learn how to hustle up some money some other way, you could do it. I would. Okay. So you need to confess it for what it is. After confessing your sin, you must ask God to help to get out of debt. It may seem impossible. However, we can trust the promises of Jesus found in Matthew 19:26. Somebody want to read that real quickly, please. 19:26. He's giving something. Who's there? Everybody there?
But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
That's right. And I think if you don't think that it's possible for you to get out of debt, you got to pray and trust the Lord, because it is possible to get out of debt. And you need to. And you need to really watch this indebtedness that you're accumulating. Especially, again, what did I say? With the credit cards. And because they are giving you, they are interesting you, and they don't want you to pay it off. If you make the minimum payment on there, it'll take you about 3 years. And they know that, and that's if you charge nothing from that point, right? It takes you the 3 to 5 years to pay it off. And what are they betting on? That you'll put more on it. Right? That's what they do. And the debts that go over 30 days, right, then they start charging you interest on some cards. Some cards it's quicker than that. So anyways, getting out of debt is an exercise of faith. The word faith is an acrostic. Fantastic adventure in trusting him. That's one that I've heard. Fantastic adventure for trusting him. A lot of people, they're so in debt and their money is so tight, they can't give. When we get to giving, and we talked about tithing and different things, they can't give to missions. They can't give benevolently if somebody needs a little bit of money here or there. If one of the brothers or sisters of Christ are particularly hurting in a situation that you can give to those type of things, it's a good thing that you have that kind of money available to you. And it's something that you want to do. If we don't want to be counted among the wicked, according to Psalms 37:21, we must repay all our debts on time. The fact alone should cause Christians to think twice before borrowing for any reason. If we as Christians go into debt, we must repay. And so I do never recommend for a Christian to claim bankruptcy or, you know, to default on a loan. Unless it is a collateralized loan, and there's different things, you know, that you can do. And the law allows different things, but you're supposed to pay it back. And so when you borrow some money from somebody, Josh, you need $100? Okay, see you later. But if you borrow money from somebody, and, you know, there's times that you can lend and different things like that, but you need to pay it back. Okay, number three. Thou shalt not presume on future earnings. Thou shalt not presume on future earnings. We just had, I'm wondering what's going to happen. You know, whenever a new government changes, I get to know the old governments, right? And you know what they're going for and everything. And every time that there's a new government in there, I go, oh, I wonder what this is going to do. You better not presume. You better have your act together, okay? And that's why you have to know your money and where it is and stuff like that. Not that you're going to worship it or anything like that, but you need to make wise decisions. Know when you're close. Debt is borrowing against the future and presuming on our future earnings to pay the present purchases. Is that not correct? It absolutely is. So when you take out a 30-year loan, or a 15-year loan, you're presuming that you are going to be able to pay this for the next whatever, you know, 15 years. Isn't that a presumption? I hope you have a good job. You know, the amazing thing with me with tech, yeah, you know, now this is just my opinion, you can put it wherever you want, is I don't even understand why they're still there. That's such a dinosaur, a smelting plant by a main waterway. I mean, come on. You know, this is so out of, you know, the environmental studies, you know, different things. I was really surprised that they didn't move it, you know, to Colombia where they can pollute all the way they want to there, or Chile where they do have another processing plant and everything like that. So I've never been able to figure out.
I'll tell you something.
Oh, will you? Okay, yeah, well, they have some kind of deal. He knows about some kind of deal going on or something, right? Yeah, it's quite an amazing thing. I do know that they've kept up with, you know, one step ahead of environmental problems and stuff like that. Unless you live in Northport, they'll talk to you about it. But anyways, yeah, he'll tell us about it. That'd be good. And I'll let you know. I'll take in all the data and then I'll give you the high points, right? Debt is borrowing against the future, okay? We try to justify our actions if the product does not live up to expectations or if we have financial reverses. However, there is little, if any, difference between stealing and not paying for things bought on credit. There's nothing. You've said you would do it and you didn't. There's no difference than, you know, I repair chainsaws, right? I took this, a guy named Shane. I got to watch out for Shanes, man. There's a lot of, anyways, the guy named Shane, he was recommended by another contractor to me, right? And yeah, I did his saws and he wrote me out a check for $500. Man, that bounced so high. It was going, it's still bouncing, man. It's still there going into that. And imagine if even if I run that business that I was so close that I, you know, it would do that. No, I've got a built-in savings account in there. Anyways, because you bet on certain things and you're betting on the future and things can change. I really do live as if retirement CPP and, you know, old age security, that when a new government gets in, I really do believe that they can, that could be a thing of the past. All they have to do is say, oops, sorry, we're broke, and that kind of thing. And so I try to do things in such a way that I'd be able to live. I think you need to, everything works out okay. Well, maybe I shouldn't say okay, but you can get away with so much when you live in a society that continues to prosper. But when you're in things and things crash, especially, let's say, in your career field or something like that, it just falls totally apart. And that's happened a lot in the United States in different sectors. And it's being felt up north, north of Alberta there, quite a bit right now, and in different sectors, a lot of guys that borrowed money, right, on the future with their big cars and their big toys and all the rest of it, it's all being repossessed at this as we speak. You got to be so careful. And who would have ever thought, really now, you know, we're betting on the future, right? Who would have ever thought that when oil was, you know, $90 to over $100 a barrel, that it would be few months later down to 42. I mean, who really, you know, who would have guessed that one? And not me. And many of the economists, same thing. And so the future, when Christians go into debt, you got to do that you don't know the future. The future is uncertain because you're not a prophet. Okay? You know, so you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And in our days, what's the thing about in the last days, it says, what will come? Perilous times will come, right? Be careful. Thou shalt destroy all credit cards except one. Thou shalt, now this is if you're in debt and you got credit card problems that you don't pay, you need to destroy your credit cards. Okay? He says here, as a pastor, I believe that most dangerous and destructive threat to homes is credit cards. financially speaking. And because people, they think they got, you know, and they take pride, and we take pride in what our credit limits are, like it's some kind of big deal. No, what they do is they go, man, I hope I can get this guy to be $22,000 in debt, you know, this kind of thing. So you got to be so careful. Destroy all of them but one. And it says, words do not have the power to describe the long-term damage credit cards can do to our homes. When going into debt, we need to remember again what principle Jesus gives us in Luke 14:28. So who wants to read that, please? That's right. You need to count the cost. And when if you're going to go and do something like this, or it's speaking of warfare and other things here or there, you need to count the cost long term, and if you're going to have sufficient to pay for it. And so count the cost in this thing in there, and don't just get so centered on the warm fuzzy that you get from having this new shiny. Because you can justify it, believe me, you can justify anything new that you buy in your mind. Haven't we all done it? Sure we have. Got to be careful, okay? Really. And if you have a savings account, and if you do things right, then maybe you should be paying for it cash. Because see, if you don't have any money in savings, then I have to tell you, you're not following the program, and you're going to get caught short. And you're going to end up paying for things that you don't want to pay for, the interest rate on them. It is not, and especially with our affluent society, if you have your act even almost together, not even totally together, if you have it almost together, you can put money into savings. And unless you just have to spend it. That's the way I was for many, many years. These are a little bit outdated. And so the average household owns over 8,000, it says 8,400 in credit cards. I have to tell you that now they're saying it's over 18,000. So that if you add up all the credit cards, it's $18,000 into the future, short-term, uncollateralized loan. And I have to encourage you to know something. Remember I told you I owed everybody and my brother $500. Well, the reason that I owed them $500 is that's all back when is that they would advance you. $500 on a credit card was your limit. And then you had to put up, it was collateralized. You would sign away your couch or your whatever that they would come. Really, I'm serious. And if you didn't pay, then they started hauling away your furniture, man. And now it's just, oh, they don't even do that. I just stand amazed at it. Anyways, okay. Making payments of $98.38 per month, which is more than the more required minimum if you were at this $18,000, at 14% interest, it'll take you 40 years to pay it off. Now, I don't know if that works out math right. I thought it would be less than that, but and then you'd pay $38,000 in interest. maybe it won't work out quite that much, but I tell you, it takes years and years and years to pay it off. So you have to double up. So we're going to, according to Money Magazine, now this is 2004, so you know, okay, how old it is. The average is too low because the number includes households with no credit card debt at all. In other words, you know, they went to the average. And you know, and sometimes when they figured out the average, it was there. So if it's $12,000 to $18,000, who knows? The following table I have shows how much it'd pay if you had this beginning balance and at 14%. And it's so much money. Have you ever bought something on credit? Now, really, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you? Because I am. Have you ever bought something on credit because it was on sale? And then you're thinking you're getting a deal, right? And then you don't pay it off right away. And then it takes you 3 years to pay it off. Believe me, you didn't get any deal there. You were paying a lot more for it. And that's where, when it even gets to our homes and everything like that, you need to do, I know I have a mortgage, and you know, we do the mortgage thing, and it's with my mortgage, it's a collateralized loan and everything. But a lot of times the people never figure out all the math, that interest that they paid and everything like that, and how much they've paid into that mortgage, all the things that you've fixed up and all the rest of it throughout the years, and compare that to renting a home where you don't pay that. And a lot of times people say you're throwing away money, but believe it or not, if you follow that out all the way, the cost difference, really, I'm talking about a 40-year period here, the cost difference is not as much as you think. There's a couple of arguments to go on to this. It's an interesting debate. And both of them throw figures, and I'm not real good at figures. I just know I need to spend less than I make. Now we can see why credit cards are one of the most profitable businesses in the country. And the average family receives 8 credit cards offers a month. Is that a blank for you, too? And I have to say, maybe you don't get 8. But I can tell you that I took 4. Now, that's not including what I got in the mail. I'm talking about phone calls. And matter of fact, you know that I thought it was Tana calling me on my new cell phone number that nobody's supposed to know. They're trying to sell me something, you know. Where do they get this? Okay, so under this, it's quite an introduction to this, but he's recommending that you have plastic surgery. Okay, that you have plastic surgery, that you cut up your plastic. Okay, cut it up. And if people will say, well, for emergencies and this stuff, yeah, I understand all that. Keep one of them and then start to get, you're trying to get out of debt so that you can have savings, money in savings. You don't need as much as you think, but you understand how much it comfort, and it does. If you follow the scripture, and if you only have, let's say, and I say only $10,000 or $15,000 available for you in savings, and it doesn't take that long to get that much, it really gives you a sense that if you follow the scripture and you're doing all this, that, you know, that you could handle the next emergency. Because about everything costs a few thousand dollars, doesn't it? Especially if you're paying somebody $90 an hour to fix it, right? So have plastic surgery. I have a credit card for the business, I do. And I have one credit card for the business. And when I use it, because I do international things there, and I do, and then I go inside and I pay it off. Even I just walk into the computer and I pay it, even before it even gets to them, actually. You've got to be able to, but remember, I went through my 7-year lesson, right? You want to go through a 7-year lesson? I hope you don't. But I have to tell you, if it'll help you so that you could develop a savings strategy, that you would have enough money in your budget to put money into savings and then tithe and offerings and givings, and that you'd have this all this thing, I would encourage you to do that, and it'll be a blessing to you. Now, for those in debt, you have to have a credit card for emergency reason. He wants you to put it in a metal can and fill it with water and place it in the freezer. If you're going to keep it for emergency purposes, he wants you to put it in a metal can, fill it with water, put it in the freezer, because it's only for emergencies, so you don't need it in your wallet, right? Because, see, the reason we're talking about this in this way is because if you have a tendency to use it very, you know, all the time, just the time that you got to unthaw it might slow you down enough to rethink something, right? And so I thought it was a pretty good idea, actually. And to stop impulse buying. Now, like I said, I don't mind if you buy things, but if you're taking out cash out of your hand and you're paying the bills and you're getting out of debt and you need to come up with that red one or the brown one or whatever it might be, and you want to buy something, listen, it's yours to spend. I mean, you know. But I would encourage you to make sure everything else is in order first. Okay? Now, to thaw it out will prevent impulse buying. Furthermore, we must decide not to go into debt for any reason for a minimum of 12 months if you're going to get out of debt. You're not going to go further into debt for 12 months Because you can accomplish a lot in a year if you follow a strategy here. Okay? And Josh is learning lessons financially, right? And really, we do. We learn lessons, and sometimes we need reminders. And, you know, and we trust people. I do. I do trust people. But you got to have that flexibility that if you get bit. This is like cutting a cancer out of our finances because credit cards are a deadly hindrance to our financial and God's purposes in our life. And this is what you need to say. It says, let us lay aside every... Well, somebody read it, please. Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. You know the verse. You've heard it before. Who's next? Anybody? Just get it real quick.
I got it here.
Okay.
Wherefore, seeing we also are...
Compassed
about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
That's right.
Run with the patience the race that is set for.
That's right. And it's a weight. Credit card debt and all this other stuff, it's a weight to you. And if you don't pay it back, it can be a sin unto you. Okay? We may be so addicted to our credit cards, we think we can't live without them. And after the withdrawal is over, have you ever been addicted to something? Yeah? I hope it's only candy. But if you've ever been addicted to anything, I don't care whether it's coffee or chocolate or whatever, anything harder than that, you know there is a withdrawal period. I tell people the hardest thing for me to quit was quit smoking. That was the longest withdrawal period, I have to say. Because I started when I was 12, 13 years old, and I smoked until I was 30, and every day, a couple of packs a day. And when I started quit smoking, whew, man, my body said, what in the world are you doing here? And really, it went squirrely. I'm serious. I was shaking and twitching and spastic and not very good to be around. And anyways, and it took a long time. It takes a long time when you got a habit like that, when you're addicted. And I've been addicted to other things, but actually that smoking was like more ingrained than anything. Finances are the same way. If I could tell you the amount of people that complain about not having enough money and will spend $100 on this or that, impulse like that. Not even think, oh man, I want it, it's pretty, I got it. And it'll hang on the wall here. You know, whatever it might be. That do that kind of thing. It's more than my fingers and toes, and we can multiply that because it's what gets you into the state of not having enough money. So you got to go through a withdrawal period, please. 12 months, say, man, I am not going to charge anything. And if you can make it that long, you might be able to make it even longer, right? But after the withdrawal is over, about 4 to 6 months, we will wonder how we could have been so foolish to use them in the first place. This will take hard work and diligence, as opposed to a lack of restraint we have been demonstrating. What truth is found in Proverbs 10:4, please? Should give us a motivation to get rid of all credit cards. Proverbs 10:4. Go ahead.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
Amen. That's right. Now, I didn't say miserly. There's a difference between being frugal and cheap. There's nothing wrong with frugality, but you don't want to be so cheap that things happen. Well, we've got 3 minutes. How far can we go? So you need to prioritize. And like I said, since everybody here seems to have their act together, except for me and maybe one other or something like that, we need to know that you're going to have to be teaching people the right way to do this, right? You're going to become a financial pillar. And what you're going to have to tell these people is you're going to have to prioritize things. You are going to have to prioritize things. And by numbering them 1, 2, 3, etc., going from the smallest debt to the largest, you are not going to take a bill payer paying loan out. And the only reason you're not going to do that is that this is a learning curve for you. And this way that we're going to set this up, the way that this, it sets it up in such a way that there's no quick fixes here, that it wants you to pay off the debt and learn a lesson each time you pay it off, okay? And it's a very good thing. I still to this day can remember the last check that we sent to Visa, which was the last indebtedness, and that we were in Texas at that time, and that was 1986. 87, and we sent the last check to Visa, and I can still remember that. And then we had it, you know, before that it was to Sears and JCPenney's and, you know, all the rest of them that were there, and it was a good lesson. So you need to prioritize, and once you've realized and you develop the plan, so you prioritize, you start with the least amount. You're going to still be paying them every month, right? But there's a reason that you're going to have them prioritized, because you're going to attack one at a time and get them done, okay? So we're going to stop right there. And I know we didn't make it very far, but there's a lot to do this. I want to encourage you to consider this lesson and consider where you are financially, so that when you get to be a little bit older and your wage earning capability diminishes, that you will be able to go off into a semi-retirement or retirement, which, by the way, the Bible doesn't teach. So you'll go into a semi-retired state, because you're always supposed to be working. Quitting is, you know, that's for dead people. You're still trying to, no, you're still working. So you're out doing fruit. You're doing a lot of things. You're doing your bees, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I know. Well, that's what semi-retirement is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be work anymore. We're not like, you know, slave labor here anymore. And so I want to encourage you to that you need to start now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for so great salvation. And I pray, Father, we'd heed the warnings that are in Scripture. And Lord, that you would bless us in it. Amen.